Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to St. Andrew's, whether you're here in person this morning or you're watching us online. It's lovely to have you with us. And my name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I'm one of the retired clergy here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. And it's lovely today that we've got Kathleen, who's come to play the keyboard for us, which is lovely. That's a new thing for me because I haven't been officiating a service before where we've had live music. So that's a great thrill. And we're going to be able to sing today through our masks and be able to, if you're at home, obviously you can just raise the roof. But that's just a really lovely thing to be able to do. And also today, it's just great that we've got Alice Wills, who's come to preach for us. And Alice has been at St. Andrew's and All Saints for almost 4 years now. And I'm going to ask her to come and share a little bit about what she's going on to do, because she and her husband Isaac are leaving Malvern at the end of this month. And just while she's coming up, just to remind men and any other men that you know that there is a men's breakfast this Saturday morning at Wetherspoons on the Worcester Road at 8:30, and all men are welcome. Thanks, Alice. You're going to tell us a little bit about what's happening for you and Isaac.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, so like Helen said, we've been here nearly 4 years now, although my goodness, it feels like a lot longer than that. We've spent pretty much all of our married life in Malvern. This is where home is, this is where our friends are, but not for much longer. So you may have heard down the grapevine or seen in our newsletter that Isaac and I are on the move to, as they've put it, literally new pastures, because we are moving all our animals, the pigs and the sheep and the chickens and the two dogs and the cat, and we are taking all of everybody back down to Devon. Devon is where I am from, born and bred, Devonian me. So we are going back to support my parents more, basically. My parents are at retiring age, nearly. Not that farmers do retire. So just need a little bit of a hand with some of the heavier stuff. So Isaac and I are going back to be more of the muscle and a bit more of the energy and the strength for Mum and Dad on the farm to keep them going. When we came here, we always kind of knew it was going to happen, even though at the time it looked completely impossible. About 6 years ago, when I was abroad at the time, I got this verse that says, it's from Genesis 28:15, when God's talking to Jacob. And it says, "What's more, I will be with you, and I'll protect you wherever you go. I will someday bring you safely back to this land. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised." And so we've always kind of known it's been on the cards that we'd go back to Devon. And it's been wonderful being here. We've been to college. I've come out with a theology degree since living here and just grown so much. But now is the time to go back. And yes, of course, we are very sad to be leaving you, but we won't be disappearing forever. There is no way we're going to lose contact. So we'll still be around.
Shall we pray? Alice, if you'd like to come over and I'll just, can I lay a hand on you? Is that okay? Father God, we want to thank and praise you for your hand on Alice and Isaac and their life together. Thank you, Father, for this call to the farm in Devon. Thank you for this promise that you are always with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we pray that that will be very real in the midst of the first winter when things start to get tough and they're missing people here. Lord, we pray that you will move in close to them and help them, Lord, to grow in you and to grow closer to you, to one another, and to be an integrated family with all the adjustments that that involves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray together? Faithful God, whose word is life, come with your saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for you, for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to stand and sing our first two songs now. Lord, I come to you about the power of God's love as he draws us in this morning, followed by Who Can Know the Mind of God Our Saviour, just dwelling on the goodness and the greatness of God. Please stand to sing.
Stand in awe of you.
if you'd like to take a seat. We've just sung, "I stand in awe of you." And Psalm 19 tells us this. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." It continues, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. By them your servant is warned. In keeping of them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me." As the psalmist considers the revelation of God through his creation and through his word, he's convicted of his hidden faults, his errors, and his willful sins. So we're just going to reflect for a few quiet moments now of all that God wants to point on our lives today, that we want to bring to him for his forgiveness, areas where we're prone to error, to hidden faults and willful sins. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Collect, the Church's special prayer for the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now Jutta has our Bible reading.
The reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and I'm reading verses 14 to 30. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2, gaining 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here, or look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. This is our first in a series on parables for August, and Alice is going to come and open up this passage to us now, the first in the series, and I'm just going to pray for her as she does that. I think there are a few Bibles in the back of the seats now, so if you want to try and follow the passage, then do feel free to do that. Father God, thank you so much for Alice. Thank you again for her gifts. And we pray that you will speak through her this morning. May each of us hear something fresh from this fairly familiar parable. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, if you want to grab a Bible, feel free. It is quite a long passage, this one, so if you want to grab a Bible, do feel free. Interestingly, our word talent, so we think of talent as in like gift or skill or something that someone's good at, actually comes from this passage, but it's not actually about that to start with in the first place. The word talent is a weight, and I learnt whilst researching for this that it is 20 years of a day's wage for a labourer back then. So even getting 1 talent is like a phenomenal amount of money. So a little bit of the context there, which I thought was a fascinating fact for you. Okay, talent. Use it or lose it. It's a phrase we hear every day with things like fitness or memory. You can get all of these memory books now, because use it or lose it for your brain. All these kind of things. We know that reading is great for our children, because doing something like reading, it helps expand your brain so you can then learn even more. But actually, the principle is far older than any of these modern health trends. Maybe not specifically about physical health, but in respect to everything else we've been given, our money, our talents, the things that we have. So the parable of the talents is a fairly well-known story of the servants who earned money, were celebrated, and the one that didn't was thrown out. But we often tend to read it just by itself. In fact, the parable is found in the middle of a set of 3 fairly similar passages in Matthew 25, which are at the end of Jesus' passages all about the last days. So Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, and then he's describing how the sun's going to change colour, and then he's going to come on the clouds, and all of this. And then you get these three stories at the end. So it's really easy. You can flick through Matthew 24 and think, oh, it sounds a little bit awful, slightly scary, slightly confusing. But as far as I know, I haven't seen Jesus appearing through the clouds yet, so it's fine. The master in the story is Jesus, and one day he'll come back, and in the meantime we need to do some work in the church and produce some fruit and things, and just basically not be like the last guy, because I don't want to be thrown out where there's gnashing teeth. Okay? Something like that. We may well have heard this story before, and that's probably something like we'd summarise it. But actually that misses something of the urgency in the story. Because not even Jesus knows when he's coming back. In Matthew 24, he says that even the Son doesn't know, only the Father knows. Just one day he'll get the message and he'll be off, and all the angels will appear, and so on. So Jesus is urging his disciples not to be complacent. Right before this is the parable of the maids waiting for the bridegroom. Those that were organised and prepared and had reserve oil, and those that didn't. Now, I'm sure the last servant would have been a lot more organised if he had it in the diary when the master was coming home. He may have gone and earned some interest on the money he'd been given, or done something with it to make it look a little bit better. Because wouldn't you? Turns over the page in his diary, oh no, the master's back on Thursday, quick, go dig it up and do something with it, because then it looks better. One of those Jesus is coming, look busy moments. It says the master was gone a long time. He may even have just buried it and completely forgotten about it until the master came home and he remembered, but by then it was too late. Out of sight, out of mind, and all of that. So let's bear in mind the fact that this is very much about the present and not about the future. Because after all, the master left his servants to look after the money while he was away and not for when he got back. So the first thing we notice is the gifts were all different sizes, each according to his ability. Each gift was specific, of a scale the master knew that they could cope with. He wasn't going to overload them. He worked with what he knew and therefore expected some positive results, because all the gifts were given in a way that he knew they could have a positive outcome. Giving the same gift to everyone might have seemed a little bit fairer, because we tend to think the same is the fair option. But I'm not going to give a learner driver a Ferrari, because that would be downright dangerous, though I have seen photos of £90,000 Ferraris with L plates on in London, so it does happen. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't, because I think that's downright crazy. But equally, I'm not going to give Lewis Hamilton an old 1 litre little Nissan Micra to poodle around in, because the gifts are out of context. We often look at gifts, physical and spiritual, and compare them with other people's, judging, have we got more, have we got less, do we think this is fair? The servant with one bag of money may well have felt jealous of the man with five and wanted that gift instead. But ultimately, he'd then have just wasted five bags rather than one. And the master would have known that. But even taking him out of the picture for a minute, the other two both used their talents well, even though they were not given the same amount. They were given different gifts so that each one could have equally positive outcomes, but just in different ways. Each gift was a custom-made package, made to be just right for the individual and not comparable, therefore, to anyone else's. All too often in churches, the upfront roles can become idolised. Everyone wants to do the big jobs, and overlooking all the work put in the refreshments and the cleaners and the admin and the techies, who actually are the people that make all the stuff happen. But even if we judge roles as big or small, to God, they're just the right size. The master knew how much each of his servants could carry, so rather than overburden them,
which God does not do. He gave them the talent that was just right. So, what are these gifts? This is not a dictionary definition, this is my definition. And a gift is something that comes naturally. It may need some practice and it may need some work, but it fills you with energy and life, and is most importantly to benefit other people. Romans 12:6-8 is a good place to start. I know as a church we looked at this not that long ago. So again in verse 6, gifts are given uniquely according to the grace given to each of us, not just blanket for everybody. I love the range of gifts: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. But these are definitely not all of them. This is not like a tick box exercise. There are far more than that. It's just a nice cross section that Paul's given. I love that they're not easily quantifiable either. Some of them are more abstract than others. So teaching, teachers. I know the job role, I can picture that, that goes with teaching. But what about someone with a gift of showing mercy? I've never seen a job advert for a shower of mercy in a church before. And so it's something that is so often overlooked, because we don't tend to advertise for one of those. But it's a gift nonetheless. Your gift may feel more like a characteristic, like being generous, being encouraging, showing mercy, than it is a specific skill set. But it doesn't make it any less a gift. You might encourage someone on their gift of teaching, but how many people then think to encourage that person on their gift of encouragement? Probably not so many. Let's just pause for a minute. Think about your personality, who you are, what you love doing, what are you good at? Ask God to show you the gift he's put in you that is unique to you, that may or may not be on that list, that you may or may not know about, but that could really benefit the people around you. Maybe for some people that there's a niggle in there and you already know what it is. It was for me. I used to have a niggle about leading worship a lot. And I would read this passage and I'd get a proper little niggle in here. And I'd be like, oh, I know I should be doing that, but oh, it's terrifying. So maybe for some of you, you do know what it is. We'll come on to that in a bit. But whatever it is, I encourage you to share that with someone. Literally, unbury it and bring it out into the light. Because very often, the first thing is just saying it out loud. So, we've pondered what our gifts could be. Great. So, I'll just go home then and write a note on the fridge to remind me that I've been given a gift and I probably need to do something about it at some point, right? Well, the message of the parable would suggest that's probably not the case. The master wasn't looking for a servant who just knew what he had. The last servant knew he had one bag in the ground. That's why he buried it in the ground, because he knew then he still had it. The thing the master was looking for was what they did with it. It doesn't mean he wanted the biggest profit. Both of the first servants doubled their money. One ended up with more money than the other. But that wasn't the point. It wasn't a competition. The point was that they did something. Something rather than nothing. The response they got was the same. The same celebration over their faithfulness and the reward of the joy. The master even says to the last servant that he wouldn't have minded if he'd only earned a little bit of interest. And if you have a savings account, you know how little interest can be at 0.00 whatever percent.
But that didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was 5 loads of talents. They could have gone and like quadrupled their money, but that wasn't the point. The point was just the fact that there was joy in the fact they had done something with what they had been given. It was only the fact that the last servant didn't even try to use it and did nothing with it that the master was then upset about. It's not about how much is reaped from the investment, only that it is invested in the first place. It's the attitude rather than the results that mattered. So, what then stood in the servant's way that prevented him from receiving the same celebration as the first two? Fear. I was afraid, he said, so I hid your talent in the ground. What fear might be holding you back from using what you've been given to its full potential? Are you, like the servant, afraid of the master, afraid of God, and what he might think of you if it goes wrong? Are you afraid of trying and getting it wrong, afraid of messing up in front of others, afraid of failure? When I was little, my teachers, and my mum and dad to be fair, knew that I was quite capable of taking quite large speaking parts in Christmas plays, like Mary, for example. Because I could read quite well, I could have learnt the lines really easily. In fact, during rehearsals, I generally ended up learning everybody's lines. I could probably have repeated the whole script to you from beginning to end, no problem. I believe I even tested myself on this once, doing the Snow Queen in primary school. I believe I even tried to. That's how well I knew the lines. But the biggest part they could get me to play in my year 2 primary school nativity was the star. Because the star had 2 lines. And that was all I could do. Even though I could probably have just like directed the play because I knew the whole thing. 2 lines. Because I was terrified of messing up and failing. And it's been something that I battled with a lot, and as I still do, to be honest. I hated speaking in front of anyone. For years, presentations, those lovely speaking and listening things that you had to do in school, oh, the bane of my life, I absolutely dreaded them and would put them off wherever possible. I would leave it and leave it and leave it until I realised I was going to be the last one in class, and that was a terrifying thought, so I would be the one before the last one. Because I hated it. Hated it. Because I felt the weight of getting it right and of other people's expectations and of doing a good enough job. When I was about 14, I taught my first song to a little kids' choir that I was a part of. It was one of the shortest songs I could find. It was 2 lines of music, 4 lines like this long of text, literally the shortest song I could find. I was really nervous, and I almost don't know how the choir leader talked me into it, to be honest. And I seem to remember that I came away going, oh, it went really awfully, and they didn't like it, and it didn't work, and all of this. But that lovely choir leader had spotted something that I hadn't seen. And over the years that I sang with her, she began to just tease it out of me. And it took a lot of practice. But I am a lot better now at teaching songs than I used to be. I ended up at one point, when I was about 18, teaching a song with her in front of about 2,500 people in Plymouth Pavilions. No way did my little self, dressed as a star with my 2 lines, ever imagine I could do that. Standing here speaking to you, no way did my little self, dressed as a star with my 2 lines, ever imagine I could do that. The fear of messing up has not completely gone. I still grapple with it. sometimes more than others. It held me back from doing worship for years. I wouldn't practice in the house. It still feels weird practicing instruments in the house with Isaac around. Weird. Because of the thought of someone hearing everything going horribly wrong. Don't play violin at six. That was the root cause of that. You know, I still grapple with it. But I am now so much more able to do more because I have done it in the past. So it is with the servants in the parable. And so it is with you. So how then do we move forward? Well, firstly, the time is now. The parable is in a place of urgency, of readiness. It's in the present tense. Not, I might do something with it in the future at some point before Jesus comes back, you know, after I've done this and finished my to-do list and reached this accomplishment and then I've got this award and I finished that thing over there. In fact, the only time we do actually have is now. But God's not asking you to achieve the perfect result straight away. I didn't go from my little star with two lines to this straight away. Not a chance. He's just asking you to be brave and give it a go. Investment naturally involves risk because it means stepping out and putting something that you know you have into a new thing with the possibility of growth. And then the more it grows, the more you're able to use it, and so the more it grows. I love this picture. I think it's just a great example. Obviously, trees don't grow out of money, but I just love the investing image to growing something so beautiful. Whatever gift you feel you have, however big, however small you might think it is, however confident and practiced you might think you are, or not, the most important thing is giving it a go. Jesus doesn't mind how successful or not you think it was. It doesn't have to have massive rewards. Things like showing mercy aren't exactly quantifiable with rewards. Anyway, that's not the point. You can get it wrong, you can make a mess. You can think you have a word for someone. As long as it's positive, you might get it wrong, but that's okay. You can encourage someone and then go away and go, oh, why did I say that? But if it was encouraging and you made a bit of a mess, that's okay. I might completely lose the ability to speak in a minute and all my words might come out in the wrong order, but that's okay. That's not the point anyway. The point is that you do something. So think back to that gift you thought about earlier. Imagine stepping through whatever it is that's trying to hold you back from trying it. What does that look like? It will look different for everybody. What can you do to give this gift a go? To unearth it, to dig it out, bring it into the light. It might literally be as simple as talking to someone about it. You can start small, but the more you invest, the more you use it, the more it will grow. Exercise grows our physical strength, and in the same way, using the gifts God has given us grows us spiritually too. So I encourage you then to try using these gifts. Like I have, and I'm really glad I have. Because I love doing worship on a Sunday night now. And man, it was scary. And yes, I still get really worried about thinking I'm going to mess up. But I am so glad that I gave it a go. Use it or lose it. Who knows where it might take you. But there's always joy in the end.
Thank you ever so much, Alice. Thank you for opening that up for us. That was lovely. Thank you. We're going to consider our role in, well, we've just been considering our role, haven't we, in God's kingdom, helping to build God's kingdom. What's our role? How can we use our gifts? And our next song takes up the thought that we would like to see God really at work in our land. As we open up things, as we see the church seeking to serve, we ask that God will come and restore this country of ours, which has known so much devastation and is still in the midst of quite a lot of difficulty. So let's use this next song as a prayer that God is going to grow his kingdom in our age and time. If you'd like to stand. Going to come and lead us in our prayers now.
And nourishment to people in every type of need. Lord, in your mercy, Creator God, we pray for your whole creation, for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, for their lives to be respected, regardless of creed or colour, gender or sexuality, wealth or status, and for a responsible sharing by other nations of precious resources. We pray for governments and all world leaders, and for the responsibilities they hold in bringing justice, peace, and prosperity to all your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
It seems that we can look to the future with optimism at the progress being made in the control of the COVID virus, a virus which has caused so much fear, disruption, despair and sickness, both mentally and physically, and sadly, the distress of bereavement. We thank and praise you, Father, that you answered our earlier prayers, in that you enabled, encouraged scientists who with doctors and nurses worked ceaselessly to create and administer a viable response to this previously unknown virus. And we pray, Father, that where there has been success, the appropriate aid might be granted to nations where poverty, corruption, and persecution are often the greatest barriers to these communities receiving the gift of relief from the virus. We pray that all people in our own country will continue to do what is right to reduce the risk of the virus spreading more widely and having an adverse effect on what we hope is a return to normal family, social, and working life. All this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, bless all those who mourn the loss of loved members of families or friends, whether by COVID or other illnesses and afflictions. Give to them all the comfort of your love, that they may face each new day with hope and the certainty that nothing can destroy the good that existed in their relationship with the deceased family members. May their memories become joyful, their days blessed with friendship, and their lives enriched by your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, God of power, hear our prayers, and through the ministry of your Son, free us from the grip of all the evil that exists in your creation. Lead us as we go forward, day by day, week by week, strengthened by and upheld by your love, the truths of the Gospels, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I invite you to stand?
Stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our eyes. Oh Jesus, we love you, so we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take away our to you we're gathering out of each and every land. Christ the love between us at the joining of our hands. Oh Jesus, we love you, so we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take. Bread. Christ is with us. He is with us. Break the bread. Taste the wine. Christ is with us.
Together we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. As we go out to use our gifts to work in the kingdom until Jesus comes again, to be using our talents, let's stand and sing our last song, which is one of dedication, that we might serve him until he comes again. Please stand.
I have heard my people cry, oh, dwell in
And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us in his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you and those whom you love, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you very much for coming today. As usual, providing it's not raining, then maybe we can chat outside. We'll have to see what the weather's doing when we get out there. Thank you for coming.